Improve your own damn carbon footprint. Seriously, why can't these administration czars actually start there with themselves? I am telling you, the hypocrisy of the elitist left, it knows no bounds. It's nauseating. These are the people that are trying to dictate our future. I think not. Hello, everyone. I'm Trish Regan. This is crazy. John Kerry, the administration's climate czar. Oh, he talks an awfully good game right on climate change. So important to him. He works on this deal and that deal. Well, wait until you hear what he has to say about why it is that he took a private jet all the way to Iceland to accept a climate award.
On that issue, pollution, I understand that you came here with a private jet. Is that an environmental way to travel?
If you offset your carbon, it's the only choice for somebody like me who is traveling the world to win this battle. I negotiated the Paris Accords for the United States. I've been involved in this fight for years. I negotiated with President Xi to bring President Xi to the table so we could get Paris. And I believe the time it takes me to get somewhere, I can't sail across the ocean. I have to fly to meet with people and get things done. But what I'm doing almost full time is working to win the battle of climate change. And in the end, if I offset and contribute my life to do this, I'm not going to be put on the defensive.
It's the only choice for someone like you? What are the rest of us, peasants? I mean, please, this is just great. I love it. I mean, seriously, buddy, come on. Come on. This is the perfect example of do as I say, not as I do. And here's the thing. Why are we as Americans, why are we even taking this from these people? I'm serious. What a guy. What a guy. Come on. If it's that important to you, if you really care about climate change, then come on. Would you just improve your own footprint? Right? Like maybe you ought to start there. Maybe you don't rush up to Iceland on your private jet so you can accept your fancy schmancy award. Show them what a great climate change person you are. I mean, this is what's so nauseating about the entire thing, right? The whole idea of, oh, you got to wear a mask. You got to wear. Oh, by the way, now the CDC is mandating it. It's federal law. You're on public transportation. You got to wear a mask. They're going to enforce it. Watch out. You're going to get arrested. If you don't have the right kind of mask, that's a whole other issue. And yet these people, they, meaning the left, that it pushes all this stuff, they don't even do it themselves. And so I really have a problem with them constantly telling us how we're supposed to live our lives. But yet it doesn't matter for them. This is messed up. You couple this with the fact that even the New York Times now is saying that the Biden administration needs a reality czar. Their words, reality czar. That's on yesterday's podcast. Make sure you download that one too. I mean, from the Biden administration, it's as though that the fascists have entirely taken over and there's no appreciation for the individual, only themselves, meaning those in charge. If they're in charge, they get to dictate how everything else is going to be and how everyone else must live. Well, I say no. You know what? We are all individuals with our own rights and with our own value in this world, and they can't constantly make these rules, especially when they're not even living by them themselves. Okay, coming up next, Maxine Waters wants to charge President Trump with premeditated murder. I'm on it.
Following the president of the United States of America, who had advanced planning about the invasion that took place in our capital. And even there's information that some of the planning came out of individuals working in his campaign. As a matter of fact, he absolutely should be charged with premeditated murder because of the lives that were lost with this invasion, with this insurrection.
Oh, unity, unity. Yeah, that's what they claim they want. That's Maxine Waters that you just heard on MSNBC talking to Joy Reid, talking about how the former president should be charged with premeditated murder. I mean, this unity thing's really going well, huh? Way to go, Joe. Way to go, President Biden. You talk about wanting unity, but let me just be very clear. If he wanted unity, you would not have this entire spectacle coming down the pike. I mean, this is going to be disastrous for this country. This is going to tear the country apart. You're going to have the Maxine Waters of the world out there saying, you know, he needs to be charged with premeditated murder. And then you have the other side saying, why are we even doing this? And how can he get a fair trial? And by the way, he's already out of office. So how the heck are you going to impeach him? I mean, it really has become a full-fledged circus. But that's what they want. Okay, don't be naive about this. Joe Biden has the power to stop all this. And instead, you see Chuck Schumer, Nancy Pelosi pushing through. Why? They want to divide the Republican Party because they figure if they can divide the Republican Party, if they can splinter off anybody who, you know, says maybe this is a little absurd. The guy's already out of office after all. Maybe it's not even constitutional. If they can splinter them off, then they are left with total supreme control and total supreme power. Because how would the Republicans ever win again? You see, that's what's so sad about this entire thing. None of these people care anything about Americans. On either side, by the way, you've got total extremes on either side that care nothing about everyday Americans. And all they want to do is gin up some anger. And so when you hear this woman, Maxine Waters, talk, when you think about what she said in the past, I remember all her comments about how you should harass anybody that works in the Trump administration. If you see him out to dinner, if you see him in a department store, you go after him, right? Then she talked about how she was going to, quote, take Trump out. The words that have come out of this woman's mouth are utterly horrific and nobody calls her out on it, right? That's not violent, what she says, despite the fact that you had women like Kirstjen Nielsen and Sarah Huckabee Sanders getting badly harassed themselves. No, it doesn't matter, right? Because it only works one way. And I'm telling you this, it's not going to get any better. This whole impeachment fiasco is going to dig in both sides much deeper and is extremely unhealthy for the country. All right, we're watching Bitcoin. My gosh, everybody's getting into Bitcoin these days. Even Anthony Scaramucci, whose claim to fame was 11 days as the press secretary, he's in on it, and a lot of really, really big deal investors. Could Bitcoin become the next GameStop? Wow, we've really had some wild markets. I mean, between GameStop, between AMC, between silver, and now Bitcoin. Of course, Bitcoin has been all over the place. Kind of in the mid 30,000 range right now, but it topped 40,000, went all the way down to 30. Some analysts are predicting that this might be the new GameStop. Of course, there's a little bit of a barrier to entry and it's $30,000 a coin. Anyway, the Bitcoin bulls, they're pointing to the fundamentals of this cryptocurrency. They say, and I'd actually agree with this, the technology behind Bitcoin is remarkable. It's revolutionary. I mean, it, in their view, could someday be the currency of the world. I'm going to get to that. But first, I want to stress this stuff is really, really cool. The blockchain technology, which really makes it very easy for any transactions to happen, accurate for transactions to happen. This is really, really cool stuff and something to watch. The chief investment officer, meanwhile, of Guggenheim, said this month in a TV interview that his firm's fundamental research suggests Bitcoin could climb as high as 600,000 per coin. And then you think about the fact that it's going so mainstream, right? BlackRock, which is the largest asset manager in the world, they control about $9 trillion in assets. That's nearly half the size of the entire U.S. economy, right? So think about the size of BlackRock. They're investing in Bitcoin. In fact, in January, the firm filed two statements with the SEC, basically saying that, quote, certain funds may engage in futures contracts based on Bitcoin. The insurance firm MassMutual revealing recently that it's tiptoeing into the space with a $100 million investment. And then Scaramucci, Anthony Scaramucci from SkyBridge Capital, recently launched the SkyBridge Bitcoin Fund with a $310 million investment. That was this week. I want to add to this, Elon Musk, right? The founder of Tesla is also coming out backing the currency. In fact, he just did an interview on the social app Clubhouse, and he said that he should have bought the currency 8 years ago. I'm late to the party, says Elon Musk, but I am a supporter of Bitcoin. yeah, he's a little late, right? Because it's in the 30, 40 to 1,000 range. And I remember back when it was trading between $100 and $1,200 per Bitcoin. I was really interested in this story. I've been following it for some time because it's just incredible when you think about, one, the technology there, but two, the idea. The idea being that we need a peer-to-peer system that is free from any central banking nonsense, right? Interference that you get from the banks. And I think that's a pretty remarkable thing to consider. And something that, yes, someday may have a very big role in society. Right now it's tricky because, you know, hey, it's kind of hard to buy something with Bitcoin, given that it's fluctuating all over the place. I mean, you know, if you buy a house with your Bitcoin and the very next day Bitcoin doubles in value, well, then, you know, maybe you shouldn't have used the Bitcoin to buy the house, right? So part of having a currency that can really be used for ease of transaction means that it has to have some stability. And that's sort of where the central banks come in and they try and increase that stability. You know, not to say that we couldn't get there at some point if there's enough liquidity within the Bitcoin arena, but we're still kind of a ways from that. And so people are now looking at it as, oh, you know, this is a good investment for the future, but is it really, right? You don't entirely know right now because you can't say there's some intrinsic value here. It's kind of like gold, right? Gold is an interesting, you know, but there's a lot of people I know that say, you know, I'm leaving 30% of my portfolio always in gold because you just never know. And Bitcoin is a similar kind of investment. Again, love the technology. And if they can find a way to, you know, create an easier environment that's not so volatile so that people can actually use this as a currency, then there's some, you know, there could be some meat on the bones. We'll see. I just know that, you know, in the last 8 years, gosh, it's really exploded. And I think this technology will continue to explode. And you're going to see more and more mainstream players getting in to this investment. All right, we're going to have more on TrishIntel.com. Make sure you go to TrishIntel.com. Sign up for my emails, please, because you know they are trying to do everything they can to silence anyone that disagrees with them. And by them, I mean the Biden administration. And you know, I'm going to disagree with them. It's my nature. So please do sign up. Make sure that you're on my email list and make sure you download and subscribe to this podcast. I'll be right back here with you again tomorrow.